Dr. Gilligan, this is mind-boggling. It is truly enlightening what you're sharing with us. Shame, rejection, humiliation, the way it plays out in people's lives when they're caused to feel this way. People who have lost their jobs. I want to ask you something. The loss of jobs, would that in itself be considered possibly a subtle form of violence, or is that just something else that just kind of produces the same results?
Well, I think it's helpful to think of unemployment as one example of what some social scientists have called structural violence, meaning injuries to people from the social and economic structure of our society. For example, the division of our society into the employed and the unemployed, or the rich and the poor, and so forth, or people who have well-paying jobs compared with people with low-paying jobs, and so on. These are all could be seen as subtle, but I say subtle, but potentially fatal, you know, life-endangering. Forms of violence, and there are many forms of psychological violence. Sometimes human beings aren't even noticing when they are insulting somebody else or humiliating somebody else, but humiliating people can cause, as I said earlier, the death of the self before it even causes the death of the body. But what I've discovered is that human beings can't live without love, love is as necessary for the survival of the self as a psychological entity as oxygen is for the survival of the body. Deprive a person of oxygen, the body dies.
Yes, sir.
You deprive people of love and the self dies. Mm. And that's when people are most vulnerable to using violence toward others and or themselves. In America and in many other countries, rates of suicide and homicide go up or down together, which suggests they may have the same cause. But being fired from a job is one of the most humiliating experiences people can have. One of the greatest American plays was Arthur Miller's play, Death of a Salesman.
Yes,
which portrays how the main protagonist of that play, a man named Willie Loman, really is humiliated to death by being fired from the job that he'd had throughout his lifetime, that had been the source of his sense of identity and self-worth and his adequacy as a father and husband and so on. And once he loses his job, he loses the will to live and kills himself. I've seen people who killed their own family before making a serious suicide attempt. And, of course, I've read about people who've done that and committed suicide. So, shaming can lead to death of everybody involved. One of the complications here is that people don't necessarily, when they've been shamed, they don't necessarily vent their hostility and rage on the actual person who humiliated them. Often they will choose a scapegoat, somebody who is less powerful than they are. The way I put it is that violence tends to flow down the power gradient. That is, when human beings, get in a fight with somebody, they'd rather choose somebody who's weaker than they are rather than somebody who's stronger than they are. Because if they choose somebody who's stronger, they're only likely to get beaten and then humiliated again.
Yeah.
So people often who've been humiliated will say a man who's been fired from his job, may be more likely to come home and kill his wife or a child or himself than to kill whoever, the boss or the police or whoever else he might think has actually more power.
So when we look at that, Dr. Gilligan, is there a possibility that we sometimes see subtle forms of violence combined with scapegoating at play? For example, I'll tell you what I'm wondering about. We know that one of the things that has been happening for ages, for centuries here in America, and it certainly was at the forefront of this most recent presidential campaign, is that we have a lot of people who, when it comes to the economy and their personal finances, have been really, really hurting to the point where they were angry about their financial situation.
Yes.
And one of the things that has been so strikingly intriguing, so painfully noticeable, is that they have chosen to support the people who would cause them more pain, because they're pretty certain that these people they support will cause pain for the quote-unquote other people who they want to hurt.
Yes.
Angry, I'm thinking about what they said about angry white men, and you hear so many angry white men who really verbally vent a lot of their anger towards peoples of color and
blame them
for what they're going through, even when the people of color are going through worse,
as opposed to
really, really targeting the folks who make the decisions that cause their pain.
Yes, that's a really important point. And what you put your finger on is what the late President Lyndon Johnson called the Bourbon Strategy. I mean, by Bourbons meaning not the whiskey, but the white ruling class, particularly in the South. But this same psychology applies throughout the country, the North as well as the South. And what he meant by that was, it was to the advantage of the white upper class, the people who owned the big plantations or whatever else required a lot of capital, that it was to their advantage to have racial discrimination go on. Because as long as that happened, the poor whites, or the poorer whites, the group that was, you know, the working class whites, would still have somebody they could feel superior to, namely African Americans, who had even fewer opportunities and less income than they, the poor whites, did. And that was a way the rich whites could manipulate the poor whites into venting their rage on the African Americans, who were basically just scapegoats. But it was a way of diverting the rage of the poor whites away from the rich whites and distracting them from noticing that the people who were really picking their pockets were not the poor blacks, but the rich whites who were hoarding the riches of society more for themselves.
That is so amazing. And when we come back, could you share with us what levels of consciousness, what levels of awareness the poor whites who are scapegoating have about who's really causing their pain? Or whether they're aware of it and they just choose a scapegoat, or they're not really aware of the ones who are really causing their pain, and so they just look for the easiest target.
Yeah, I don't think they're aware of it, but I'll be glad to talk about that more.
Interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, stay with us. Dr. Gilligan and I will be right back.